Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Derek Pearson, brought to you by Canopy Street Market.
Yes, sir. Saturday morning live on The Ticket. In case you didn't get the memo, and I'm in a mood on Saturday morning, a little feisty this morning. So buckle up. Get your tea. Let's do this. The Sartor Hayman text line, 402-464-5685. You want to be a part of what we're doing, hit me with a what's up on the text line and be a part of the conversation. I'll give you a shout out, and we will take your comments, text, thoughts, etc. You can follow on all of the live video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo Channel 961, Amazon Prime, if you're fancy. You can also download the Ticket app, you should, so that we can go where you go whenever you go. It goes everywhere, so that is sort of the plan. We always preface one-on-one with this. It is like Forrest Gump's mom's chocolate. We never quite sure what you're going to get on a one-on-one. Where we start is not where we end, and that is on purpose. Because if we have spent 2 hours together and we end up in the same place, we haven't accomplished anything. We haven't done anything. So let's get into it. It is a busy sports weekend, and I kind of want to set the table with this, that locally in Lincoln, there is enough going on this red hot roasting sauna of a sweat box Saturday, but you have options and you don't always think of Lincoln as a place of multiple choice and options. But this particular Saturday, you can go. I mean, we were just listening to Bree and the Raceway folks, that's a thing on a Lincoln weekend. You can go down to the Haymarket and catch the Salt Dogs on a sweaty Saturday. And then you can go over to the complex. But Tommy Arciaga and crew have put together a pretty stellar and deep boxing and bare knuckles lineup for a Saturday night. Doors open at 7. Doors open at 5, but the card starts at 7. Local talent of a variety of levels. And affordable, which is the other thing. The beautiful thing about Lincoln is that, quite frankly, people make a point to make things affordable for folks, family and otherwise. So you can let me know what you're doing this Saturday and this Sunday. And then, of course, if you decide to find your way to Omaha, that... Okay, I lean with this. Baseball makes you bypass 100 degrees to participate in. There aren't a lot of things where 100 degrees outside doesn't matter. But there will be a sellout crowd, all with expensive tickets, for the idea of spending 3.5 hours sweating next to strangers, yelling at people you don't know, just holding off for dear life as the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers and the LSU Bengal Tigers go at it each other for. I think it's an undervalued title when it comes to collegiate sports. I think that sometimes the series and the journey, the way college baseball is set up to get to the College World Series, sometimes while celebrating the game, often puts it in a corner and on its heels, because you're at, being asked to invest a lot of time in folks that you may not know and that may not be familiar with. And then you chose to celebrate it, and I'm not mad at it, but you chose to come to the middle of the country to celebrate it. And there are those that would say, in a bigger market and with easier access, more avenues, more ways to get into to the town, bigger airport, more hotels, that maybe Omaha isn't ideal, but it is heaven. It is heaven. It's currently heaven. It's baseball heaven, that you get people like Blur Events. You get all of the sponsors and folks who come in and sell the apparel, the College World Series Village, where every baseball junkie just walks around with a smile on their face. You're able to get custom bats, custom gloves. There's some throwback theater there where they go back and talk about previous College World Series. And then it's a collection of America in one place. And I always say that when the accumulation of America shows up, we're at our best. And so in the College World Series Village, over the course of these 10 days, you get to see and meet people from all over the country, different types of programs, different types of players, players with different agendas, motivations, ambitions. And they all agree on one thing, that they come to Omaha with the simple idea that they want to win the last game played in Omaha, Nebraska. They want to win the last game. That's the entire mission of all the teams, the eight teams that made it here, all of the teams that started in the regionals, all the teams that went to their conference championships and tournaments with the hope that they could participate in the big dance. But baseball is a little bit different when it comes to how it gets to its championship. And I think the benefit of it is that you get introduced to the Coastal Carolinas. You get introduced to the Murray States. You get introduced to a faction of baseball that, for the baseball purist, you get to get lost in the idea that it's just the game and the people playing it. It's not about the money. It's not about the facility. It's not about the name on the front of the jersey. It is the accumulation of a lot of small town kids who love the game of baseball, who happen to be blessed enough to play it at the collegiate level. They are having some success. They get to dream and measure themselves. And that part is my favorite part of all this, is that no matter what level of baseball player you are, and sometimes it happens in travel ball, but rarely does it happen in travel ball where you really get measured by the country. The game measures you. The people don't really matter. But baseball is the great humbler of all sports. It is wonderful humility to be able to stand in a box and allow somebody to throw this projectile missile at your person, and for you to stand in it 10 toes down and say, go ahead, let's see how this plays out. It happens in martial arts, but in baseball, there is a dance and a space and finite lines that define what you can do, what you can't do, and the time in which you get to do it. Baseball is timeless in the sense that it is a 27-out brawl. It's about 27 outs. You, what they say, you can't fake finishing baseball. You can't run out the clock. You can't go four corners like they did in basketball. You can't go into prevent defense. Nope. 27 outs. Somebody who has just efforted that they're going to walk to the middle of this thing and start the party. And it's unique because there are thousands of pitchers across America who will never get seen in the middle of that space. They're never going to get seen unless their team, and it requires a team, the team battles with them, for them, about them. It's the only, it's different than playing quarterback. But a pitcher in college baseball has the most extreme conversations with themselves. Pitch to pitch, in between pitch, planting the foot, location, the telepathic communication between a pitcher and his catcher is still the most unspoken about thing, great thing in all of sports. Because the ability to communicate small things, athletic arrogance, hey, man, your body language is down. Hey, get your eyes right, billow the cap, where's your head, right? And it's a thing that I would say to my players all the time, billow the cap. It tells me so much about the game being played. Listen, son, I don't ever want to see the bill of your cap down. Whether you're in the field or not, I don't want bill of the cap down. It means you're not present. Pitchers, if you're lowering the bill of your cap, it means that you are not present. It means you're either in a thought of a pitch past or present, but you're not in the moment. You're not there resetting the standard, resetting the location of the game, the pace of the game, your place in the game. At home plate, tell hitters this all the time. Listen, once you look down at third base and get my signal, and you dig your back foot in, that's the last time the bill of your cap can be down. Play the game with the bill of your cap up. Play it. Play the game with your. I used to get in trouble because I had these phrases that baseball allow you to say. And I just remember that in every sport, there's a meeting place. So with football, it's the huddle. It's the huddle. You get together and you regather, and okay, that was cool what just happened, but what's next? Basketball, the huddles on the sideline, the huddles at the free throw line, those huddles are the resetting and recharging of the game. But baseball huddles really don't happen the way they happen in other sports. Because when the baseball team huddles, it's about to go down. We are about to change some things. We're about to rattle some things. We are about to get crazy. Because if a catcher walks out to the pitcher's mound and the infielders come in, the game is about to change. It becomes purposeful. And you have to, in that moment, billow the cap up, look your teammates directly in the eye, and acknowledge what you're all trying to accomplish in the very next play, very next pitch even. And baseball is that thing that, you know what, one pitch at a time, the game changes. The game changes. And here's the beauty of it all when you think about it this way. Pitchers and catchers talk to each other through whether it be through hand signals, fingers. But the greatest work between pitchers and catchers is done in the bullpen. It's done long before the people who paid to come to the game see them. Because bullpen session, I had a rule as a head coach that I wanted to catch the starter's pregame bullpen. Because I wanted to plant seeds for that game. I wanted to plant seeds for that game. The conversations behind, okay, Here's the pitch. Here are the pitches that I want you to use, and here's where I want you to use them, and then here's who I want you to use them against. That's a lot. That's a lot. That, you know what? I'm going to give you this baseball. I'm going to rub it up. I'm going to get it ready. I'm going to rub it up for you. Special dirt. Different textures. Different coaches will use different mud on different seams, especially if it's a breaking ball pitcher. And I'll go to the home plate umpire, whoever that is that day, and I'll show it to him. I'll let you know there's some work put in on this. So don't go throwing any brand new balls into my pitcher. I want to touch everything before you send it out there to him. And then I'm going to hand my starting pitcher the ball with this order. I do not want this back. I don't want it back. I need you to get 27 outs, one out at a time. I don't want it back. unless you give it to me. And when you give it to me, that means that we commit. I'm giving you the ball. You're taking the responsibility. You're taking the burden. And when you're done, when you are done, not when I say you're done, when you're done, you're going to give that back to me. And it simplified the game. Simplified every relationship I had with pitchers. You're going to go out here and battle. We need 27 outs. Then within that pitcher coach conversation, we knew. Okay, what? How do your legs feel? Is this a 90 pitch day? Is this a 100 pitch day? It's 100 degrees out today. It's 100 degrees. Hey, man. We're not trying to throw 100 pitches in 100 degrees. It's just, it ain't that kind of party. So those conversations are, then let the game be played. Do you trust your eight? Do you trust the eight guys that I'm going to put out there with you? Do you trust them? Do you trust the catcher? Because he's going to be the horse you ride. Do you trust him? Okay, you're going to get on the same page. All right. First time through, fastball down the way. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Because nine players facing a down and away fastball located properly, I'm going to have an 80% success rate. The two best players in the lineup, they may get to it, do something with it, but I'm okay if it's 2 out of 9. We're okay. And if I can locate that first fastball down the way, here's what it allows me to do. It allows me to pitch from ahead. It allows me to have advantage, always advantage. Never once in the history of man has a skipper went out and said, you know what, I want you to throw a ball first pitch. Never once. Doesn't happen. So we go to the bullpen. First thing I'm going to ask you to do is to hit me dead middle of the plate. I don't care how hard you throw it. I don't care. I don't care what it is. I need you to hit dead center. Then do it again. Then do it again. Now, then I'm going to slide. I'm going to slide to that lower corner. And I'm going to be loud with it. Because I don't care who knows. I don't care if the hitter knows that that's down and away. I don't care. Down and away. Hit me down and away. Hit me down and away. Hit me down and away. Okay. Okay. Now. Let's turn up the heat a little bit. I need you to hit down and away at 90% of your velocity. I don't need 100. I really need 100. 90. Go 90. If you throw 90, give it to me. Go ahead. Get me in that mid-80. But let's hit this spot. Because this spot is where games are won. This spot is where games are won. Critical mass, critical situations, down and away. And remember that down and away changes from right-hander to left-hander. It changes. And thing about right-handed pitchers, it runs. Down and away, runs. Left-handed, down and away, runs, and it moves late. It moves late. The last 10 feet, it's not going to be the same level, same location. It just can't. Don't know what the Southpaws have done to the world, but they've made it. They've broken science. Down and away. And then, once I know that you can hit dead center, down and away, that pitcher has then guaranteed himself a 60% chance of success that day. Got nothing to do with the hitter. Got nothing to do with the eight behind him. If you can win that battle in the bullpen and then in the first inning, you're going to be successful. And people have asked, what is it that Coastal Carolina does good enough, well enough, to find themselves in the College World Series championship game? And it is control of the strike zone from the rubber. My goodness gracious. Now, it is really wonderful to have pitch 2 and pitch 3. It's really wonderful to have Uncle Charlie that you can break off. It's wonderful But it's even greater to have nasty Uncle Steven, that slider that runs and chases. But the best one to have on top of that 90-plus mile-an-hour fastball is a serious, elegant, professional changeup. Same motion, same stride, same plant foot, same release window, all of that, same bill of the cap. It doesn't change. And then it just disappears. You see it clean. The hitter sees it clean coming out the hand. He sees it clean. Everything in his brain is pre-wired to trigger quickly for 90 plus. And then somewhere around 54 feet, he realizes, oh no. It's not going to get here. And it changes the mind. It rewires the hitter. And you know who loves a good changeup? Umpires. Home plate umpires, listen. Their best friend is a pitcher that throws fastball. But an umpire gets extra saucy when this pitcher has a changeup, because he knows whatever his third strike call, move, pump is, he's going to show off. He's going to show off that day. So when you watch Coastal Carolina tonight, pay attention to first pitch location, especially the first time through the order. First nine, first pitches. First nine, the first nine hitters, the first time through, first pitch. And if you are on your game as a pitcher, you know that if I can make those nine pitches exactly the way I want, where I want, I'm probably going to do well today. But if that thing ain't working, if you get out there, we're talking about nine pitches, one pitch at a time. Nine pitches, one pitch at a time. Can you hit the lower third outside corner nine times in a game? And it dictates the higher percentage of success in baseball. We complicate the game because it is a complicated game. But if you do the simple things right, our coaching phrase was do less, better. Do less, better. Do what you're good at often. Do the thing that you do best often. It simplifies the game of baseball. If I'm a fastball hitter, amen. Come with it. Because we don't know many pitchers who will just get in a at bat and throw six breaking balls at you. They're not wired that way. They're not wired that way. You're going to give me one. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. My college coach used to call, he called fastballs the hot girl. He goes, the hot girl's going to show up. Be ready to dance. The hot girl is coming. This pitcher, especially at the high college level, that's how they got the college money. It's on the scouting report. It's at the top of the scouting report. It's the first thing. It's the first thing. And I'd ask you, hey, how fast is curveball? That conversation happens way later in the conversation. When I'm standing in the on-deck circle, I don't particularly care about your breaking ball. Most breaking balls don't find the strike zone. Their purpose is to get you to chase. Case in point as well, my college coach used to call the curveball the crazy girl. The crazy girl. Curveball's the crazy girl. Sometimes you're going to have to deal with one. Sometimes it ain't often going to be pretty. when you catch one hanging, oh, what a fun night we're going to have. But more than likely, that crazy curve is going to make your life miserable. But that's what happens with Coastal Carolina, LSU. It's what happened with Arkansas when a pitcher gets on, when they're on. And it happens in the bullpen. And then it transitions. The first time you take the exact motion, the exact rhythm, the same drive, the same plant foot, and you take it from the bullpen to the live mound, and you realize, yep, it transferred. It showed up. That pitcher doesn't care who's hitting against him that day. He's battling himself. He's pitching to him. You're just a victim. You're just a victim. And then you can do about it. But this is the beauty of baseball. This is the beauty of the College World Series, is that you watch teams that have been identified as Cinderella who aren't Cinderella. If you win 26 college baseball games in a row, I don't care if the University of Nebraska played the YMCA 26 days in a row. If they beat them 26 days in a row, some things really happen for them. They do a lot of simple things really well. You cannot win 26 collegiate baseball games in a row without doing the small things often and best, and that's who Coastal Carolina is. That's why they're playing tonight in Omaha. We'll throw it to break. We'll come back. I want to talk to the other side of the ball, because quite frankly, you know, hitting is the art. It is the masterful art that, when done relatively well, you're a star. Relatively well. You're never going to master it. You just want to get close. We'll talk about that on One-on-One when we come back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Canopy Street Market on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back. One-on-One, Saturday morning, sweaty, sauna, Saturday. It's going to be hot. From the text line, a couple of things. Please remind people to make sure their outdoor pets have plenty of cold water. And, man, don't have outdoor pets today. Don't have them out there. Like, come on. This is pet parental responsibility. Take care of your furry family, please. Isaac, you can always get a shout out, bro. Go Big Red. Yeah, you never have to ask. You always can get it. Don says this: I feel the biggest reason that the College World Series gets undervalued is the fact that it happens during a time when most people are on vacation with their families and friends. While that is true, attendance for Major League Baseball is actually up during this time. Up. Because the families are together. Families are together. It also depends on who's in the College World Series. It absolutely matters. Somebody asked me this earlier this week about what the ideal College World Series would be, and I had to give them two answers for a variety of reasons. One, I had to preface it with that since it's in Omaha, the fact that Nebraska and Creighton would have to be in it for it to be the best version of itself. And I don't know if that's ever happened. I don't know that there's ever been a World Series that both the Huskers and Creighton made at the same time, which would just be mind-blowing in every way, shape, and fashion. You know, that happens, right? So then you say it's a six-team race to play home games against Omaha and against Creighton and Nebraska. And it's in full, right? It's in full that LSU has found a niche home away from home in Omaha. LSU would certainly, if it was LSU and who would be the ideal teams? I would think the ideal teams What'd you find out? What'd you find out?
Creighton's only been in the Cold World Series in 1991.
So they've only made it once. So the idea that they both made it is just, I'm just trying to just imagine in my head a College World Series. And I would hope that the baseball guys were kind and put them in separate brackets as well. Like, I don't want that to be, although some would say that should be the first game of the College World Series is Nebraska versus Creighton. But that means one of them's immediately in the loser's bracket. No. Although Nebraska fans are like, yeah, we'd like to do that. We would like that. They would raise their hands and go, yes, we're for that. We would like that. Creighton would love that as well. Here's Jackson, I'll ask you this. Mm-hmm. If that were to happen, which program would have the most fans at SWAT? If Nebraska and Creighton made it to College World Series and they were playing each other, what percentage of that crowd would be red versus blue?
Oh, man.
Which fan base has more money? More expendable cash for baseball?
I would say UNL.
I asked the question. I'm not giving an answer to that.
I would say
I am not. Yeah. There's zero chance I'm putting my foot in that mud. That's not happening, bro. Here's the thing. And then the question would be, do you want them first? Like, if Nebraska and Creighton both made it to the College World Series, and then the bracket came out and they said, hey, Nebraska, you can choose to either play Creighton first or for them to be in the opposing bracket. As a baseball fan, I want them in separate brackets just so we can have the enjoyment and opportunity to have a home team advancing, right? And I'm not crazy enough to dream about a Nebraska-Creighton final, College World Series final. That's asking too much. That's asking too much. I think the same question could apply is, what if Nebraska and Creighton played each other in the NCAA basketball tournament? I would lose my mind. I'm not sure the state would be ready for a Creighton Nebraska NCAA basketball tournament first round game or second round game. First round game because Nebraska's never won a first round game. Second round game would be, the hype level would be off the charts if Nebraska won a first round game and then got to face Creighton in the second round, which means Creighton won a first round game and Nebraska won a first round game and they're playing each other. Heads would pop right off. They would pop right off. So I don't know. And then, Thomas and Lincoln, that's why you're my guy. He says, what up, DP? If these teams were in the College World Series, who would win the Jello shots and say they made it to the Final Four? Listen.
I mean, LSU's on there.
Come on. Yeah, well, LSU, Texas. Is it Texas or Texas A&M? I think for Nebraska fans, the Texas A&M element certainly has its own added value.
Oh, yeah.
There's certainly added value for the uncomfortability of a certain athletic director to have to to have to stand there and just hear it. He would, chef's kiss good. Mwah! For him to have to sit there, I mean, standing there in the wrong shirt.
In Omaha.
In the wrong shirt? In Nebraska?
People forget he was also the AD at UNO. He was at UNO too.
Come on, man. He's eating at the hotel.
Yeah, he's watching every game.
He's eating at the hotel.
Turn on ESPN.
That would be the tightest walk from the limo to the AD suite at Charles Schwab. That would be the tightest walk ever. But I think it would be fantastic, right? And that's quite the Final Four. Yeah, because I think LSU, Texas have as much here as anybody. I'll ask the text line, who else? Like, who else would you want in the eight? Would you want, if there's another SEC team, because, again, they draw, and it certainly adds sauce to the pasta. having another SEC team in the door. What SEC team would that be? If it's LSU, Florida?
I was going to say the Gators.
Florida? Maybe Alabama?
Yeah, maybe Bama.
Showing up? Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma.
There it is.
Oklahoma would be... And this is the weird thing, is that Oklahoma is not the baseball program. It's Oklahoma State that I would think... Just from a baseball pure standpoint, now, as a fan, Oklahoma showing up in Nebraska always adds, you know, sugar to the Kool-Aid. But I'm certainly fine with that. And then Big 12, you need a Big 12 team. You need a Big 12 team, and you need an ACC team. I heard my college professor in my head. An ACC team. Florida State, big Miami? Miami or Florida State? Can't be both.
Give me Miami.
I'm thinking Miami. Right? Canes, I'm thinking Miami. Canes in. But the Noles bring the Noles fans show. Noles fans would travel. I think the Noles fans would travel a little bit better when it comes to that. But Big 12. Who do you want from the Big 12? Who's Big 12 baseball? But also, you now have to consider that you want Cinderella. You want a Cinderella.
This is true.
You want a Cinderella. You want a Coastal Carolina Murray State. Mm-hmm. You want somebody outside the... Now, real talk, that's Nebraska and Creighton.
Yeah.
Nebraska and or Creighton, if they showed up at a College World Series, they're Cinderella for good, like in the whole thing, right? Because that's when you just say, how'd you get here? Like, what are you doing here, Nebraska? What are you doing here, Creighton? Imagine, listen, if I'm the AD at Creighton, I'm having a conversation with my baseball coach. Listen, man, every year we host the biggest baseball party in America. Every year, everybody comes to the crib. They stay at our hotels. They eat our food. They date our girls. And we're never at the party. We host this party. We plan it. Our stuff's everywhere. We're everywhere except for on the field. That's a problem. That's a problem. To say that you are that your stadium is sitting there lonely, sad, just your mascot don't even, like, it's the College World Series. Have you seen the Creighton mascot?
It's just a big old Blue Jay, isn't it?
Yeah, but you haven't seen it. It's a College World Series. It's baseball
Their logo's in the, I think it's the right outfield.
Bruh.
I think so. So that, they're kind of there. Again, so is Nebraska. We're on like the back banner.
Again, it is your house. It is your crib. It is your crib. That I can't even fathom. That's like having a frat down the street and you have there's a big toga party and you aren't invited.
Yeah, it's
to
kinda,
your own party.
It's kind of crazy. You don't see a your own
like you got to go next door and watch the party from the window. Like you got.
And you gotta see the tiger rolling down the street.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And then you say, it's tough times. Coastal Carolina rides right by going, hey, gonna enjoy your house. Gonna enjoy your party. Thanks for inviting us. Thanks for the food. Thanks for the girls. Thanks for the money. Thank you. Because y'all could have had the money too. There's money if you play in it. You get money. And hey, your attendance, your enrollment applications go up if you make the College World Series, and your donations go up. Can you imagine the check writers from Nebraska and Creighton if they made it? Can you? Cash App would be, it would just shut down. It would just shut down. Venmo and Cash. There would be so many big checks written. And the mission should be Nebraska and Creighton. I am going to send a spy down to Coastal Carolina. I need to know how the sauce is made. I need to know how you did it. Go to Murray State. I need to go to Murray State. Hey, man, can I look in your office? Can I?
Yeah, I'm pulling a play out of Michigan's book.
Right? Like, I need to know. There are things I need to know. How'd you do it? That's like your friend, your less attractive friend, shows up at the party with Scarlett Johansson. And you're like, bruh, how did you pull this off? And she came to your house with your less attractive friend. And she says, nice house, Jackson.
Man. Hey. Come on now.
You better get your ego right. Y'all need to get to work. Y'all need to get to work. That is crazy talk. That is crazy. That is crazy. All right, we'll throw it to break. More one-on-one when we come back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final second, hour one, one-on-one. Thank you for hanging out. Thomas Lincoln says, how would the state react if Creighton or the Huskers took out LSU? We just want them on the field with LSU. We just want them in the building. We want them in the building against LSU. We want them in the building, in this building. See, here's what's happened in the previous versions of the Huskers in the tournament. You end up in Fayetteville. And that's plus three runs. And I don't care how good you think you are. They're plus three runs. Coastal Carolina went to Baton Rouge and said, thanks, appreciate it. Right? Teams that go, when you make teams come to your building and take away some of that advantage, Coastal Carolina actually hosted a regional. Bravo. Has Nebraska hosted a regional? Let alone a super regional. Right, that you haven't had the advantage. And it doesn't make sense to not have the advantage. There's a way. I got to sniff this thing when Virginia in 2018. You think Virginia uses its baseball resources at the same level as Nebraska? No. No, they don't. They won a national title by learning how to play in critical situations. They did less better. They did less better. And they did it against teams that had two first-round starting pitchers. They said, okay, here's what we're going to do, right? For one of these guys, we're just simply going to wait for his breaking ball. We're going to sit on Uncle Charlie. Because the fastball, we can get to. We can adjust. We can deal with that. We can get there. And the other, they said, we're going to do the opposite. We're sitting dead red. We're sitting dead red. If he beats us with a break ball, more power to him. And his breaking ball was off that day. Guess what? Virginia wins the national title. There's a way. There's a way. This is the part that makes my head hurt. That you accept that that's your place. That's the biggest thing for me is I don't know that I've ever heard a Husker baseball player talk about winning a national championship. I don't know that that's a part of the conversation. I don't know that that's part of the recruiting process. I don't know if that's the standard when you walk into a living room to a potential Husker baseball player to say, because the same thing applies for basketball. And I hate to say it, and it applied for football for 10 years, that you weren't talking about college baseball, college football playoffs. You weren't talking about winning the Big Ten. Is that the conversation you're having? You have that conversation, Nebraska volleyball. You have that conversation, Nebraska bowling. You have that conversation, Nebraska wrestling. You change the conversation with Nebraska wrestling. That in the national tournament, forget about the Big Ten tournament. You were number two and you were a dog. Surprise? caught off guard, maybe, but not stunned that they were the second best team in the Big Ten. Rightfully so. You're never mad at being number two in the Big Ten. But to go to nationals and then on day two, midway through day two, you are leading in points at the NCAA wrestling tournament against the powerhouse Penn State. And if you can do that in wrestling, if you can do that in volleyball, you can do that in bowling, you can do. Tell me that in the sea of red with the power of momentum and numbers that you can't do in football. Tell me that you can't do it at Haymarket Park. BS. It's a lie. It's accepting less, which PTSD fans, man, you go through it and you get beat down and you just accept it. Softball, hey, man, they made a statement.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Now, the expectation changes. The conversation changes. And when you go in the transfer portal, you're talking about, I need transfers. I need people in who are better than the people we had. I need people who know how to win at the College World Series. That part of the conversation is absolutely vital in how you talk about your program and how the fans feel about the program. Because if the fans see that you're fighting for that, they fight with you. They roll with you. But the fans also know if you're accepting, if you're resigned to your place. And there's nothing sadder than somebody that resigns to a place lower than where they should be. Second hour, one-on-one, coming up.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Derek Pearson, brought to you by Canopy Street Market.
Yes, sir. Hour number two on The Ticket, one-on-one. Youth Football League will follow me, and then I'll come back for an hour at 12 noon. Hang out. We'll rattle some cages because we can. The Sartor Hammond text line 402-464-5685. You want to be a part of what we're doing? Slide on into the text line. Hit us with a what's up. You know the rules. Don't yell at me from the car. It's drive by. Say what's up. Be a grown up. Speak. Do that. You can follow on all the live video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo Channel 961, and the Ticket app if you have not downloaded it, please do so. Thank you. Appreciate you in advance. Matter of fact, you need to follow on all the social media. If you're not following on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, what are you doing with your life? You get the notifications. We tell you, hey, man, really cool stuff happening. We're letting you know. And then, you know, football is right around the corner. So we're getting all fired up for Big Ten Media Days. Las Vegas this year. I'm apologizing to the folks in Las Vegas. because you're going to have several days of ticket talent. And I'm sorry. I know they have good intention. But in Vegas, I'm pondering, do I need to put trackers on? Do I need to, like, bug their phones? Like, do I need to, like, you know, because then you got to set aside bail money and everything. Like, you know, so we're setting it up for them to be well prepared. They need to be well behaved. That's what we're working on. And then that takes us directly from Big Ten Media Days Fan Fest. Husker Football Fan Fest will follow immediately following Big Ten Media Days, and then the NFL Hall of Fame game that Saturday. So we're headed towards that time. Bill and Bennett, here's the thing. Boom in your face was my thing, but then I heard Carriker do a boom, and I just went, no. Okay, but I'm the elder statesman, so I need to go ahead and let him boom. Let him boom. But the yes, sir! Yes, sir! That is a coaching thing that I use. Man, there are gyms and football fields and baseball stadiums across the country that yes, sir, that was the rally cry. That was when you know business was about to pick up. Players making plays. So, Bill and Ben, and I appreciate that, bro. We'll see what we can do. We can see what we can do. Thomas Lincoln, appreciate it. Dan and Canopy. Dan, I haven't had a package from you in a while, bro. I got young people to take care of. Dan from Canopy Street Market, and again, it's hot. So, Dan, you need to put on the text line. What are your hot weather features at Canopy Street Market? What are we sending people there for? Like, what beverages? What cold beverages of choice? The Dan from Canopy Street Market picks of the weekend. It's 100 degrees. What do you suggest, sir? And Dan and Canopy, Dan from Canopy, I probably talk to Dan more during basketball season than anybody else in Lincoln. Because without fail, Huskers win a basketball game, I get a W text from Dan. And it's just a W. And we send various GIFs of W that just say dubs, right? But great store. If you haven't been down, go down. It's right down in the corner, right off of O and Canopy, down in the Haymarket. Great stuffs. We do go over Fred's roster. We talk Husker hoops in full. I'll spend some time next week on the one-on-one on the basketball roster. The reports have been good in the work that's being done off-season by this basketball team. There's been a lot of team building in the authentic sense that they're grinding against each other and not just hanging out with each other. And there's a difference. There's a difference between guys who grind together and then guys who crush together. Grinders means you're committed to being in the same space and facing friction. Crushing together means you figured out how to use that friction to propel forward or not. If people say, oh, I'm hustling. Hustling is not the same as crushing. I need progress. I need progression. I need advantage. I need advancement. And that's what it is. That's what happens. So it is a busy Saturday in Lincoln. Again, as I said in hour one, if you're looking for something to do indoors, the complex. The complex has a full card tonight. First fight, first bout, 7 o'clock. I think the tickets range from 25 to 65. I think there's still some cage side seats available. As a matter of fact, we're sending a crew. Told Jackson, get yourself over there. You need to find somebody and you need to go watch some local boxing. It's fight night in Lincoln. It is fight night in Lincoln. Y'all better. Woo. Oh man. It is fight night in Lincoln. One, it is a very cool establishment. Very cool facility. Tommy Arciaga, a former boxer who trains folks, and they have all sorts of different training apparels that you can use and things. They have trainers there that you can work with. But on fight night, it's a great show. Great show. Always a great crowd. Good parking too. Easy to get into and get out of. So that's not a problem. You can go down to Haymarket Park and see the Salt Dogs coming off a win. They put some runs together last night. Go down and check out the Salt Dogs tonight. We have vouchers, so if you're on the text line, you want to go see the Salt Dogs, you can text in and let us know if you would like to go see the dogs on a Saturday, on a sweaty Saturday. You can do that. You can go out to Raceway. You can. There's tons. The flea market was booming. Haymarket was busy this morning. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. See, this is this is how I know it's one-on-one. The wrestling fans always show up. The wrestling fans always show up. And Sundo and Lincoln asked the question, and you're absolutely right, right? That Angry Rams fan asked the very same thing, right? He says, my brother was surprised that Cena Music gave him a shout out for road tripping to the evil place of Iowa. Yeah, man, be safe, Rams fan. But yes, last night, Haas and I will talk about it on the breeze tomorrow for sure. But here's, people don't understand, people who don't follow pro wrestling don't understand the psychology, the human psychology advantage that you get from being a part of that world. The human psychology of what people root for and what they don't root for. The call and response. The calibrated response from an entertainer's music setting off an entire room of 20,000 people. Music alone. The music hits, the music drops, and it takes three notes, and that crowd now knows we are either in fight mode, we are going to party, we're going to yeet, we're going to fist bump, we're going to, yes, we're going to do, and it's phenomenal because it's the part of pro wrestling and UFC that I wish some college coaches would understand. That people are afraid of having the call and response and having people respond to a thing. But Husker fans understand that anybody can set the tone in a building filled with Huskers by screaming three words. And you have to stop whatever place you're in, and you have to connect, and you have to be uniform and unified in how you respond. There is a great power in that. Momentum is real. It's real. It's a real thing. That collective energy. And then whether, I don't care if it's 6,000, 8,000 at Devaney, I don't care if it's 12,000 at PBA or 90,000 at Memorial Stadium, that when you condition people to respond to you in a positive way, they will do it. And it's missed opportunity sometimes at Memorial Stadium to not have the hype song, whatever the hype song is. And it's not Red Kingdom. It's not Red Kingdom. It's not Come Around and Boys. No, it's not. I know that 15, 20% of the people who are at Memorial Stadium don't know hip hop. But the others do. How about hype? I miss DJ Kool being played at Memorial Stadium. Man, let me pump my fist. Let me get into it just a little bit. The light show should be attached to a song and music, and it should become 90,000 people hyped in a park. So much so the opponents are like, hey, man, that's pretty cool. I've been at Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, Virginia, when just the original drum chords and the drum beat. Oh, Enter the Sandman. Hey. Oh, give me, Phoebe, put it in my veins. Just inject it into my blood. Gimme! I will fight you, Miami. I will fight you. Memorial Stadium misses that because there should be a thing that makes Big Ten opponents And by Big Ten opponents, I don't mean Northwestern. That's not the standard. I don't even mean Iowa. You have an opportunity to have 90,000 people put the fear of God into Ohio State and Michigan. And instead, you play come a running, boys. Which makes them laugh. They giggle. What is that? What is that? Camp Randall. They have no connection to House of Pain. They understand. And a thing happened. That's what pro wrestling highlights more than anything else, is the marketing, the psychology behind how humans engage each other, how they want to engage each other. Jey Uso has taken Yeet and turned it into a movement. He's not even the best wrestler. But there are 20,000 people who pay big money who will buy out tickets just with the hope that Jey Uso will walk down and yeet with them. And they've told sponsors, they've told million-dollar sponsors, hey, do you want to sponsor the yeet entrance? And they go, yep. Yep. Because their sons, daughters, grandsons, kids, nieces, nephews all live for it. And the psychology behind it is, John Cena was the good guy. The good guy. And you become so familiar with him and so conditioned to sing John Cena sucks. And it's turned into a cheer. So even as a heel, you're preconditioned to respond out loud to whatever they want. And then the human factor says, you can be a heel and a villain, but if you tell me the truth, I'll respect you for it. Tell me the truth, heel, and you become a face. Tell me the truth to the guy I want to boo. If he tells you why you root against him, oh no, he's found me out. And last night, John Cena gave a masterful performance in simply saying, and first, shout out for CM Punk for holding the pose on, you know, in a table for 7 minutes. But to have Cena remember the thing that we loved about Cena, we're always gonna love about Cena. We love you. You guys are young. If you dated, if you were married to somebody for 30 years, guess what? That part there's always a part of you like, yeah, I remember that good part. Yeah, they're heel now, but I remember the good part. I really do. And you see the good part, he goes, yeah, but still got it. It sucks. But yeah, okay, cool. And last night, John Cena. Here's the part that intrigues me, is that I don't think that was his intention. I don't think his intention was the pipe bomb. I'm thinking he's just big John Cena. That you gave John Cena 5 minutes to fill. And John Cena did what John Cena always does. He hit you with the verbal veracity, and everybody lined up and went, that's so good. It's so good. It's so, I hate you, but that's so good. So good. And then laughed, and he just... he's having his own party. Y'all are just invited. Cena was like, y'all came to yeet. Y'all came to see this one and that one. You came to see Ron Killings, right? He let y'all build it up. It's like Forrest Gump in the Black Panther party. But sorry about ruining your Panther party. Thanks for inviting all of your friends and family. Thanks for the money. Thanks for spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to sit close enough. Thank you for spending 3 hours in the building. Thank you for getting there 90 minutes early. Thank you for the extra parking. Thank you for buying these last John Cena in Grand Rapids t-shirts, because you want to be able to tell your people that you were there and you need proof. And then, as a coach, I would tell my teams when we went on the road, I would thank the opposing team. Thank you very much. Thank you for having this party. Thank you for dressing up the field. Thank you for lining it up. Thank you for the concessions and food. The popcorn smells fantastic. Thank you for your young people getting all well-dressed for us. Thank you for all of this. But we're taking all of this with us. We're taking all this. Thank you for doing it. That's what John Cena did last night, was thank you for all of that. And, you know, Thomas and Lincoln asked, would you want Orton to end Cena's run? I can't fathom that's, it makes too much sense for Orton to have been the end of the run, being 15, resetting the standard after Cena's 17. But no, I don't know who is going to end Cena's run. I still haven't figured that out, with the story writing, that tells me you're writing it right. I don't know how the story ends. I'm vested. I'm emotionally invested in it, but I don't know how it's going to end. And I'm a grown-up, but I'm still like laughing at myself that, doggone it, they got me. They got me watching it. They got me. They got me invested. Doggone it. Doggone it. And somebody asked me this last night, that if WWE brought another event to PBA, would I go? And I was like, 100%. 100%. Because where are you going to find that sort of connected, unified energy in any space that's a positive energy for you? You can't find that anywhere. You can't find it. And Mississippi Doug, my dog, good to see you on a Saturday, bruh. He said it should end with the place going black and Undertaker burying him alive. All bets, like, anything's possible. Anything. It could be Brock Lesnar on a comeback, right? Because that would be the one that would shake the world. That would rattle the world. It could be the return of Roman Reigns in full, order restored. That would be the pitch and sell, right? The order restored. It could be that you bring back a faction, because if you brought back Roman Reigns with Seth and Dean Ambrose, the internet would explode. It would just lose its mind. And it, 100%. If you brought somebody from one of the other wrestling alliances, if you brought somebody back and did that, that would be exceptional. It can't be Gunther. Can't be Gunther. Again, there are things that they get exceptionally right. I don't know why you would bring back Goldberg for Gunther, other than I'm gonna drop knowledge here. If a thing in sports or entertainment doesn't make sense, the answer is money. If you don't understand why a thing is happening, there's no logic to it, the answer is money. And the folks in Abu Dhabi will pay a whole lot of money for Bill Goldberg to be on appearance. It's all set up. Hey, Bill, we'll give you $1 million once a year to get in shape and come out here and fight. Except for the universe has a sense of humor. And Bill Goldberg goes out, gives a great promo, jumps off the apron, hurts his knee. Hurts his knee. Bill, you're not young anymore, man. Jumping off of aprons onto a cement floor? Hey, bro, use them steps. Use them steps. We old now, bro. Accept it. Walk yourself down them stairs and not cost yourself $1 million appearance fee. I don't know what the answer is going to be for WWE post Cena. I don't know how. I'm intrigued. But in the back of my mind, The only person who can make it worthwhile, if you really want to end this thing the right way and say that this is the end of the run of that WWE title, there's only one person that can make this pay off at the level it needs to pay off at, and his name is The Rock. The Rock's the only one who can come in, because he started it. He started it. Started with Roman and Seth and Cody. His gesture across the throat is, the internet went crazy. The only person who can, you want fireworks to go off, you want everybody to go, whew, it's The Rock. But that's just me. And who am I? We'll throw it a break. We'll come back. Again, lots to talk about. Text line, let me know what's on your mind. You guys have been great this morning. Greatly appreciate you hanging out on Saturday. I was once told that people weren't going to listen to sports radio in Lincoln on a Saturday. This was 5 years ago I was told this. And I was told this 4 years ago. I was told this 3 years ago. Look at y'all.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back. I'm always vexed, terribly vexed when I hear this, because a part of me goes straight to Aerosmith, part of me goes straight to Run DMC, and I need them both together, and I can't help it. Like, everything's the accumulation of the best now, and so you hear backbeats, and you go, okay, all right. But there's a part of me that enjoys the fact that Run DMC and Aerosmith got together, and the video is still pretty cool. Like, you can go back and watch a video from 30 years ago, and it's still pretty cool to see Steven Tyler on stage with Run DMC. Like that, yeah, you know, hey, man, go ahead and do it. Like, he even did the Run DMC march, which was pretty cool. I am childish. I am a grown man, baby. I fully admit that. I support local sports and auctions and events. Our friends at the Salt Dogs are having a Farmers Appreciation Jersey Night auction that ends at 12 noon. And a part of me was like, nah, I don't need another Salt Dogs jersey. I don't need one. But they've got the Farmers gold and green, yellow and green. Looks like corn. And the jerseys, you can pick your player. And you can pick, generally, if you're like me, you pick things that match your size, things you can actually wear. I don't know if you're buying, if you're trying to win the raffle, to keep it as a keepsake, or are you going to wear the jersey? And in that, I was like, okay, what to do? And so I picked one that was kind of an anonymous blur, and you can see it at Event Gives/Salt Dogs items in the auction. You can go find it on the Salt Dogs website. But there are certain jerseys. I mean, $50 for a Salt Dogs jersey is still a pretty good deal. But then it becomes competitive. There's the part of the human nature that says that once I bid on it, I'm vested. Like, and again, at this point, I don't know who I'm betting against, but quite frankly, I've turned them into a villain. Whoever I'm betting against, I don't know their names. I don't know who's betting. But if I bet $50 on a jersey and somebody immediately bet $60, okay, I have a new nemesis. I don't know them. I don't wish ill on them, but what are you doing? Get off my jersey, bro. Get off my jersey. I'm that way with eBay too, quite frankly. I'm that way. Like, I will obsess about, oh, there's a pair of Air Jordan. What? You selling brand new Jordans, bro? Let me go and get this. Like, I don't need it. I don't need them. I don't. But the moment I jumped the broom and clicked the button, It's on. I must defeat you. And there's a point where I just want it to be game over. Like, sometimes it's a dance. Sometimes it's UFC. We're in the octagon, and I need to punch you in the head. That's just like, let's see how bad you really want this. Let's see how, And this was the thing. I put out a substantial bid relative to the amount that was the maximum bid at that moment. This evil person, who I now have respect for, doubled my bid. Was like, nah, dog, this jersey's mine. You think it's yours? It is my jersey. And I mentally applauded this person. I don't know who I'm applauding right now, but I'm applauding them because they went big. And it's all a great cause, right? Because all this goes to charity. It's a great cause, which is the idea and the point, right? That if I make this bid and somebody goes higher, I've done a good thing because I've raised, helped them raise more money. Because that's the conversation I need to have in my head. Because this person doubled my bid. And I was like, wait a minute, this person don't have twice my money, but I still want it. Like, but then I'm like, I hear my wife going, you don't need it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go, DP. Let it go. So this is me officially letting it go and applauding a stranger. I'm applauding a stranger who just went big. They went big. So if you're looking for it, you can again, go to Salt Dogs. It's the farmers, so it's the gold, corn yellow, and green trim jerseys. Great-looking jerseys. There are some that are still available for $50. Most of them are in the 80 to 100 range, except for the mean person who shot big. Jerk. Hero. Really? Brad's a Salt Dogs jersey. What are you doing on Saturday? Let it go. Go be with your family. You got kids that are waiting for you, man. Out here bidding on Salt Dogs. It's a good Saturday and then a fantastic Sunday in that the phrase is that the most important words in all of sports is game seven. Important two words in all of sports is game seven. And it elicits several responses. And it doesn't matter. You could never have a game seven in football, which, you know, kind of magnifies. But game sevens in basketball and baseball have all the meaning. And in basketball, it is because you've had six games of high competition that you can't really separate the two best teams in the National Basketball Association. And as much as you can line up tendencies, what happens in a game seven at the high level is it becomes about execution. It just comes down to, again, there's no trends. There's no new things in the bag that you're going to unwrap. Right, there's film on everything, every situation, every matchup, every place on the floor. You have them now. There's nothing new in a game seven, except the way you execute in that game seven. Pressure, bus, pipes. And in game seven, if you do the thing, if you explain it, if you play it the way Mark Manning explains it, and don't make a thing bigger than it is, then you have to erase the fact that it's a game seven. You have to remove the fact that it's a game seven in order to participate in game seven at the highest level. You cannot play this game as though it's game seven. Can't do it. Can't do it. You have to play the game as you play the game. How did you get to game seven? That's how you need to play it. Take shots that you normally take, defend the way you normally defend, use the themes and schemes that you normally use, right? Be more effective in how you execute them. And then there's a player who, quite frankly, because it's they're playing the game their way, they will highlight and show up, and they will be the difference. But game seven, advantage in a couple of points, and I think it's really three or four points. It's two baskets. The advantage of playing at home in a game seven. But people don't always consider the negative pressure that happens from playing at home. There's additional expectation. There's different communications. On the road, you have an excuse for not dealing with people. You're separated. You're at a team hotel. You're separated. you know, you don't have just a full amount of tickets at your hand, because people and people you know, people you love, and then people that you barely know are all going to ask for tickets. And it's much easier to say no on the road than it is at home. At home, they know where you live. They have to answer that. All your neighbors, all the business sponsors, all the people who partner with you throughout the course of the year, all those people want to be at the biggest event that's going to happen in that town forever. There's no bigger sporting event happening in an OKC ever. They've never had a bigger event than tomorrow night. Ever. If you live in Oklahoma City, this is the biggest event, biggest sporting event of your life. And if you're a sports fan, you want to be there. As a matter of fact, there are people who are coming from other places to be there. Do you think Pacers fans aren't in OKC right now? You think the Indian folks from Indianapolis haven't just found their way into OKC and posted up? Because guess what? They haven't won a chip either. Not since the ABA. Not since George McGinnis and Donnell Hillman and Freddie Brown. Nope. They haven't. They have not won a title since the ABA. And if you are a Pacers fan, you've been a Pacers fan since the 60s. Since the 60s. You went through and you watched some terrible basketball. Horrible. And you got close with Reggie Miller. You got close with Rick Smith. You got close. You got close. The Travis Best, the Lance Stevensons. Those dudes are there. They're hanging out for a reason. Why? Because they've never been in a Game 7 final in the NBA. Wait a minute. Okay, see, those people, they just met you. You were in Seattle. Thunder was in Seattle. And the Sonics hadn't won since 81. 80, 81? Fred Brown, Jack Sigma, Dennis Johnson, Gus, like, no, Gus Williams, they, all the years of Rain Man, and no, still didn't get it done. So for two entire states, Indiana and Oklahoma, Game 7 NBA Finals, and you cannot make it bigger than it is. You don't want players who will go out and try to do a thing that they aren't good at, because you're going to tell them, do less, better. Do what you do best often. That is Game 7. That's literally walking out of the tunnel. Listen, eat what you eat, sleep where you sleep, rest the way you rest, dress the way you dress. Don't put on anything that you haven't worn all year long. No new shoes. Don't do it. No new socks. Nope. Don't do it. Same undergarments. Same. Pacers are going to go do exactly what you did in Game 6, except for you can't because you're not home. OKC, do exactly what you've done to get you the best record in the National Basketball Association. In your building. Don't pay attention to who's calling, who's blowing the whistle. Because they are Game 7s that have been predetermined because players paid more attention to who was blowing the whistle than the plays that they made. Oh, Foster's on the floor. Foster's blowing whistles. You can go to Salt Lake City right now and ask them about the Jordan push-off. They will tell you every official on the floor that night had nothing to do with it. You knew what Jordan was going to do. He told you. You just didn't stop it. And he, through all of that, could have simply missed it. But he did what he had always done in that situation. Dribble, drive right, get to the right elbow, plant the foot, step back, jumper. He held the pose. Because he had been there before. He had seen it in his head. He had done it hundreds of thousands. Hey, man, this script was written. This script was already written. He didn't try to do more than he had done. He just did what he did best often. That's why when you have the GOAT conversation, talk about people who do what they do best the most often. Tonight, either Halliburton, Siakam, SGA, Williams. One of them will elevate themselves tonight to a place that they've never been in their whole lives. But it won't happen without TJ McCollum, Alex Caruso, doing what they do best often. And then two coaches who better not say, you know what we should do here? No. You know what we're going to do here? What we've always done. It's game 7, OKC, Indiana. Man, I love sports. I really do. Here's why. We'll throw it back. We'll close out one on one when we come back.
22. You're listening to One on One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
A couple of things for you before we close out one-on-one this hour. I'll be back at 12 noon. I'm going to take this text into the 12 o'clock hour because I do want to address it. But it says, I have a question for you guys. Does this current Husker football roster have any all-conference caliber players besides Dillon? Does Vincent Shavers have the ability to be that guy this year? What about Dane Key, Deshaun Singleton? Thanks. I'll hit that at 12 noon because that question, it has to be asked that way and then several other ways in order to have that discussion. Because when you say all-conference caliber player, there's a way to break down Nebraska's roster, but I would say that caliber is relative. Relative. The process put some limits in place, and that it often requires such a high level. It requires a different performance at Nebraska than it does at Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, or otherwise. So that discussion, all conference being relative, because some people say if you're honorable mention, you're all conference. No, we're talking about first team. Like, if we're going to have the conversation, we'll have it about first team. I don't want to have second team conversations. Is there, and what I would ask you to ponder, text line, is there any player on the Nebraska roster? Number one on the depth chart, currently, because if they're not number one on the depth chart, then they don't have a shot. Is there anybody who would be selected first at their position by all other Big Ten coaches? Is there any player from Nebraska, any starter from Nebraska, who would be given an open draft of all players at that position in the Big Ten? How many players from Nebraska would be drafted by other coaches in the Big Ten over their player? Over all players? See, that's two different questions. I can say that. There are coaches who may consider taking Dillon over their quarterback, but it's a different question whether they would choose Dillon over every quarterback available in the Big Ten. So we'll talk about it 12 noon. We'll do that. A thing happened Friday night I want to talk about. Not Friday night, Thursday night. Late night owl that I am, I'm watching Dodgers-Padres Thursday night. And ninth inning, all the breaks come off. You get a hit batsman, you get a hit all-star. And then the wheels fall off. You had retaliation. You had managers charging from the dugout. You had another manager charging from the dugout. You had physical contact between the managers. Then you had another hit batsman. And this is all in a competitive game, West Coast. Padres, Dodgers, for those that don't know, as much as I love Dodgers Giants as a rivalry, it gets way saucier when it's the Padres Dodgers. It just does. San Diego and Los Angeles have issue. As much as the Bay and Sam and Los Angeles have issue, it's saucier because whatever reason, it seems that the Padres are always feistier. Always feistier. Some of that's management, otherwise. Couple of things about this in play. One, as a manager and a skipper, you should never order your pitcher to hit another player. Not ever. Hear me, not ever. To say that you're protecting your team, to protecting your players, protect them by showing them the right way. And that if suspensions and ejections happen, it should be the skipper's first. If there it is a retaliation hit batsman, that's far greater worse than the original hit batsman. Because on purpose, you ask somebody to go outside of the game and hit another player. If you don't spend time at practice teaching your pitchers how to hit batters, it should never reach a game. Never should. Yep. Having a get off my lawn moment, and I know that some of you old heads were like, no, it's part of the game. Just like fighting in hockey, I think it's stupid. I think any manager who orders his player to hit a batter should be suspended for far longer than a few games. And here's the thing. Why? Because any pitcher that hits a batter because his manager said so isn't good for baseball. But we also know that that pitcher, if given the order by his skipper to hit a batter, he will suffer if he doesn't do it. So it's all about the skipper. Do better, skippers. Do better. Youth League football coming up. Again, same thing. Like I'm not, as a coach, football, I'm never asking somebody to target somebody. I'm not doing it in basketball either. It's just not, come on. Do better. Do better. Tank, Jim Salmon, coming up. 93.7 The Ticket on a Saturday. I'll see you in an hour.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.